Yeah. Yeah.
Switch is fire. We got a replacement.
Right in your jersey.
Yo, this is Nick D.
I'm Bree K, and this is Kasari.
You already know what it is, man. It's William Cater.
Yo, this is DJ Lost and Found from the Missing Link podcast.
Hey, what up? It's Miss Hero from Pew Army.
This is Stephen the Levite.
Yo, what's good, Josh? Your boy YP, aka Young Paul. You know what I mean? Representing the East Coast, New York, Jersey, stand up.
And you're tuned into the That's Not
Christian podcast.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, yo.
To the That's Not Christian podcast. This is episode 224. And today I am joined by the great JSLA Jimmy. We got Ant, and we got our new unofficial co-host.
No, let's kidding. Go.
We got
Marty in the building.
Let's go.
What's going on, guys?
What up?
I'm taking over weather from here on out. All your weather needs, your boy got it. East Coast to West Coast.
Yeah, y'all got mad rain out there, son.
Yeah, I was getting a haircut last week, and my barber was telling me that, like, usually California has like 17 paws, 17 inches for a whole year, and big paws. And so the fact that we were able to have 17 inches in paws in like one day is right. Bananas, bonkers. So he's like, that's I've never crazy. Seen before in my life. Yeah, 17 inches.
Yeah,
in one day.
That's wild. Jeez. You know what's crazy though is that the cloud seeding is what caused that.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like that's not normal rain for us.
It's climate control, bro.
Yeah. So
El Nino.
Santa Ana City Council had a meeting about that where they were going to start the seeding process back in January.
And that's really?
What, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it's not natural. This rain that we're having is not natural for California.
Wow.
They said in the news that this is the third largest rainfall that we've had in history.
Whoa.
The last time we had rain like this was in the 1800s.
Wow.
Boston Tea Party age.
Right.
That's crazy.
Women couldn't vote back then. It was crazy.
Yo, is that mansion still hanging off the cliff?
Yeah.
I think
that
so.
Mansion's still there. Yeah,
so.
That's still there. Actually, I think it's gotten worse. And he was like, I'm not moving. He's like, right. It's fine. The city said that I could still live here. I'm good. I'm not moving.
We ain't going nowhere.
Wow. That's
I like that, man. That's the type of commitment we need, man.
That is wild.
You gotta be dedicated.
He's a doctor. I mean,
right? Jeez.
Yeah, he's committed to that. It's a crazy situation that people want to buy it too, just to like demolish it and start something new. And he's like, nah, this is my house. I'm not moving. So
shh. Good for him.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Right.
Got morals.
He's standing on business. Yo, shout out to LNF.
Word. Shout out to everybody on Instagram as well. We are live there. And everybody on X, we appreciate you. And if you haven't already, hit that like button, subscribe, share this with a friend, bring them on here. We got lots to talk about in this episode. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is Earn Your Leisure has said that they're going to be starting, they created a curriculum and they're going to start with 10 schools in the Bronx.
Wow.
So I think it's phenomenal. You always hear, you know, we talk about this, you know, in our chats. We say, whoa, I wish when we were in school, we were taught, you know, about credit, we were taught about real estate and all this other stuff. And here it is, you know, they're doing the pilot. I think it's wonderful.
That's dope.
Yeah, for sure, man. I thought so. You said we talk about it in the chat. I thought you were gonna say how we make fun of Bronx education.
I mean, it's all related, right? Do we make fun of the Bronx education and not it?
Here we go, right? Somebody helping them how to add and subtract.
Somebody's doing something about it.
Yeah.
The Bronx is like its own borough. It doesn't even belong with the. It's like its own. The Bronx is my friend moved to the Bronx. Her first week there, she's just sitting at the light. And the kid just stabbed, like slashed this guy in half, blood everywhere. She's like, I don't even know what to do. She just drove off, of course. So, you know, no help at all.
New Yorker.
Yeah, let it happen. Don't worry.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. Just ignore it, right? Keep watching.
Yeah. I didn't see nothing, you know.
Yeah, go get a slice, go get a dollar slice.
Yeah. Good for our Earn Your Leisure, man. They're helping me out with those medical bills. Just kidding. Yeah. the one of the owners hit me up and was like, "Hey, man, would love to anything you need, let me know." And I was like, "Dang, I wish I had like debt. I wish I had something I could like give." This last year was like our goal for 2023. Me and my wife was just to knock out all our debt. So Let's we go. Were able to do it because of like Bitcoin. Actually, I had a coin in my account that I didn't even know. My buddy Darren Mola hit me up, was like, "Bro, check your account." And this coin that was like a dollar was like $34,000.
Wow.
And when we sold it, it went back to like 15. So we got lucky. I didn't have that much debt, but I was like, dang, I'm knocking everything out. But
That's great.
That's cool. That's cool. But at the same time, I think it's crazy that you got out of debt and the first thing you thought of is to get back into debt by moving into Cali.
That's right. Jesus. What I was thinking about. Yeah, it's hard, man. And I have a house in Florida, so we're trying to find something out here. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen.
It's crazy. Real estate is crazy here, man. The cost of living too, man. Cost of living is wild. There's like reports that like you make like six figures, just like making 30K.
Yeah. I mean, we can move to Texas and get a house for 300,000. But who wants to live in Ohio? I mean, who wants to live in Texas? I don't know. Not me.
Yeah, I'm with it. You get yourself, you get yourself a tank and some lions. You know what I'm saying? Like
in Texas,
it's lovely. Yeah, they got the highest number of wildlife per capita.
Wow.
Than anywhere in the world.
That doesn't really motivate me to go now.
Right.
That's why That's why you need the blick. You know what I mean?
But how many people get those Texas homes on their Instagram though? Like everybody,
the ones by the border, like for 10,000. The ones you
joints be like, yeah, right. Well, it'd be like a 5,000 square foot house for 150,000.
I see it all the time. Yeah, I'm like, it tempts you too because you're like,
right.
Oh man, but I could have four bedrooms for like $325,000. That's crazy.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. You got like 100 Mexicans running in your backyard every day, though.
That's Mr. George. Yeah. I'm like, what's up, guys? I got some things to fix. Mr. George. Mr. George.
Yeah, LNF talk about El Paso is a hidden treasure, Marty. I don't know, man.
I mean, El Paso is a hidden, just hidden for a reason. It's hidden. I love Dallas. I love Houston. Houston is like Miami, but in Texas. It's just pure anarchy. It's absolutely just nuts. I love Texas. I love all of Texas, but I don't think I could move there. I think the food's great. Everything's great, but I need to have a beach next to me at all times. I need to be next to the beach. Miami, LA, I love the beach. My wife loves the beach.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That makes sense, man.
Well, thanks. I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not?
But EYL, if they reached out to you, you wouldn't consider this?
100%. I'd be like, hey, guys, help me find out how to get a house. Or actually, I posted something on Instagram the other day where we got our medical bill by accident. Like, it was supposed to be sent to insurance, but it was sent to me and my medical bill for having my kid. He was in the NICU. Yeah, it was $1.1
million.
Wow.
$1.1 million.
Now, so was your child born in Cali or in Miami?
California. If he was born in Miami, I think it would be harder to pay for it. But because he's in California, we have so much more benefits that he was good. But I couldn't imagine being in Florida. It was like $89,000 a day for one day.
Wow.
And he was there. He was in the newborn intensive care unit for 59 days. So just imagine $90,000 plus all the ingredients that they're adding, the cocktails, the vitamins.
Right.
I mean, he was like in a little iron lung for a while. Like he was in this box, plastic box, like with wires coming in. So he was at the top of like, I need care. And then CHOC, the hospital I was at, Orange County, they're the number one hospital for babies. So I'm not only having a baby in a NICU, and intensive care, but I also have the most expensive. Yeah, I got the one that has Ryan Seacrest Studios. Yeah, no, on the left is Ryan Seacrest Studios, and it's sponsored. The wing we were at was sponsored by Walt Disney. So just know that it was outrageously beautiful and cool. But I mean, I was at the coolest hospital in the world. But $1.1 million, bro.
That's crazy. We had something similar when my wife had my son. It was emergency C-section. And we actually got a bill for that. It was like $40,000 just for like something like, you're like, wait, they charge 40 grand just for this? Like, that's insane, man.
Yeah. People don't want to take the ambulance because it's like $1,200 instantly to take the ambulance.
It's so true. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this EYL needs to put some sort of curriculum on how to hack that system.
Yeah, sure. No, they should medical, because there are people that actually, people reached out to me that they went to school and have their doctorate in medical, like the admin side of the medical field, and so they're like, hey man, I can help you negotiate that down. I can help you get rid of it. People did reach out when I posted it, which was like the best. But thank God, insurance in California. We're covered, but you know, you have to pay taxes, but we're covered.
Yeah.
It's covered for 3 years, unlimited. That's California for you.
California giving everybody everything, but we won't get into that right now.
You got it all.
That's another topic.
Back to EYL. Super dope that they're doing it. And what's funny that I didn't really know is that they were actually teachers in the Bronx teaching financial
support. Before
EYL came to be, you know, thing. So, they had posted an old video of one of the guys teaching the students in the Bronx, you know, about stocks and buying and all this other stuff. So that was pretty dope, you know.
Yeah, he was helping DJ Envy, right? That's how. I'm just kidding. Do you know about that? DJ Envy, and no, I'm just kidding right there. By flipping houses, buying buildings.
that was New Jersey, right?
Yeah, I'm just messing with you. They were flipping, but they were like stealing money, and it was Envy was like, I didn't do it, so they're all put on that one guy, and then just a crazy situation, but yeah.
Yes,
it is.
It
gets messy with that stuff. So
that's why you need guys like to help us out.
Yeah, for sure. Did they say like what grade levels this is going to be for?
It's high school, so
okay.
Out here, high school is what, I guess 8 through 12 or 9 to 12.
Nine through 12.
Yeah.
So, that's dope, man.
Yeah, and it's just 10 schools, and then they said that they're slowly going to start expanding. So I'm pretty sure New York City is probably cutting that check for now.
Yeah,
and
the game changer.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I know when I used to listen to Dave Ramsey a lot, he would say that, you know, a lot of his courses are now in other high schools as well, and like colleges and stuff like that. Their own curriculum, right, for Dave Ramsey's solutions. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty dope to see, you know, here in New York City people were able to get it.
Maybe New York will give some of those students $10,000 in a debit card, like they are.
I don't know about all of that.
Hey, it can change their life, you know what I'm saying? Move out the boroughs, you know?
Oh, boy.
Turn that 10 into 20, that 20 into 100, you know what I mean? You can buy some properties out in El
Paso. We put you guys on a Forex. Just kidding. let me tell you guys something about Avon. No,
right.
Level, right? That's like the old school hustle.
Yeah, that's
right
my there. Mom. My mom was on the Avon thing, and she would she would go to these meetings in hotels, and they would have like ultimate sellers, and my mom was a part of that thing. And I remember as a kid, my uncle taught me how to steal when I was a little kid, and I would just steal.
That's not Christian.
No, it's not at all. Like my uncle was like straight up the worst and the best you've ever met, and. Yeah, so he taught me. So I remember stealing all the action figures that were like raffling off. And they're like, where are the toys that are being raffled off? And I was in the bathroom like ripping them open. And yeah, Avon.
They just came up missing, man. Sorry.
That's right, man. Wow. I don't know what happened. I didn't see anything.
Right. I didn't see anything. I don't know anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's wild.
It is.
All right, Jay. What else you had? You talking? What's next? What's next, yo?
We actually have today's show sponsor, Visible. If you're ready to experience top-notch self-service without breaking the bank, Visible has you covered for just $25 a month. Enjoy unlimited data, talk, and text on Verizon's powerful 5G network. No contract, no hidden fees. Plus, exclusive for new customers. You get $20 off your first month when you sign up to the link in the description. And shout out to the person that signed up on Sunday because I got an email saying they used the link. So hopefully you're enjoying your service with All Visible. Right. Yeah, yeah. So keeping talking about the West Coast, we have California's non-official president, Snoop Dogg, making headlines again. And this time he was on a podcast and he says that
he stopped smoking somebody, again.
Not stop smoking or promoting another product, but it was more to do with music, right? Mm-hmm. He says on the podcast that somebody from Spotify or his team, they got back to him saying that he hit a billion streams, right? Mm-hmm. And then the first question he asked was, how much money does that mean? Does that translate to? And he says something about 45 or like between 45 and 49K. And he was like, well, that's nothing. So we have Marty here, who's an artist. Mm-hmm. What do you think about a billion streams and you're only getting 45K?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's super easy. I mean, it's like it's one of those things where you have to understand Snoop Dogg has been signed multiple times, right? So I don't know what kind of contracts he has. I don't know what he's like dealing with, but that's a bad contract. Like that is absolutely, I mean, we don't even have how many streams, a billion streams he has?
Yeah, said? It says a billion on Spotify. A
billion. Okay, just on Spotify. So Social Club, our catalog, I think on Spotify only has like 600 million. So I think when that interview came out, that was like a couple of years ago. So mm-hmm. we have made more than 45 grand, but it just shows you the contracts he probably had. I mean, you're thinking all of his streams, you're thinking Snoop Doggy Dogg with Dr. Dre. You're thinking the Suge Knight years, you know, like what was he making there?
Right.
You're thinking about, you know, there's a lot of that goes into that. So that number one, that's contracts. His contract was probably crap. He's probably in a co-pub deal, which means that he was half of his money was given to a label that was signing him at the time. So you have to understand, like, it's just it's what you negotiate. And so back in the day, you have to understand that also TLC had a contract where they sold 30 million and made, they only had 3%, which is what basically a producer would make. A producer makes 3% of every record. Like that's like standard. So I could tell you I've had less streams and made way more, but it just shows you that you need to own your catalog. You need to own your situation. So for me, we're no longer on Capitol Records anymore. We were signed for 5 years. It was an incredible experience. What I've realized, number one, is that no one even understands what a record label does in general, like the general public. No one knows. But I got to learn, and I had some really incredible people, Brad, Hudson, Josh, like the owners of the label, like the president. They taught me a lot. I learned so much. So it wasn't a bad experience, but I'm no longer on a label. I started my own label called Apollo. And so Apollo is like, it's lo-fi music. It's anybody that I produce. It's my own thing.
Yeah.
Simply off just Apollo, I own so much of my own catalog that I can make more than that every month off streaming. So he has 1 billion, 45 grand. I know people who make 45 grand on Spotify alone every single month because their catalog does so well. So it's important that you learn about the business, own your music, because where's that dollar going? You know, where's, if they're only sharing a percentage, like point something of a song, you know, that sucks. You're getting a percentage of a percentage. And for us, if you're independent, you own your own catalog, you could make that off of, you know, 5 million streams, you know, but a billion, that's how bad his contract is. 5 million, probably. I think it's like, I could do the math, but there's like a certain amount of number. I think it's like maybe 10 million will give you 45 grand. So how bad was his contract that he had a billion and got 45 grand? That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, right? It was maybe a couple years ago where Snoop acquired Death Row.
Yeah.
Right. So does that mean that 45 that he got back then is way more now that he has his catalog?
You know what?
Could he even make that much in however many years he got his stuff back?
Well, here's the thing. When we talk about Death Row, we're not talking about Tupac's catalog. That's something I think everyone needs to know. I don't think Snoop Dogg's catalog is a part of Death Row Records. I'm sorry. I don't think Tupac's record. Yeah, Tupac. So one thing that they developed in the industry is something called Most Valuable Nation. A lot of people don't know what this is. When Tupac died, his catalog would sell so well, you didn't really need promotion for it. People love Tupac and they want to buy it. So they want to buy his records regardless, stream it. You don't need promotion. And so Tupac's estate basically made something called Most Valuable Nation, where they have the lowest percentage of split. They have the highest amount that they make and the lowest between a label. It might even be like 95% they keep, 5% they give to a label that manages the money. And so because of that, they started something where now you have to legally, once you talk to a label, you can ask them, hey, what's the MVN? What's the Most Valued Nation? They have to tell you what that is. So what that would be on their label. So maybe Beyonce has the highest royalty rate. You get to know if you ask. But if you don't ask, they don't need to share that with you. So one of the things that you want to do when you get signed to a label is, hey, what's the Most Valued Nation? Like, what? Who gets the highest royalty rate in this label? All right, great. It's Beyonce. She gets the highest rate. Could we go a little higher? And then you can negotiate that. Most of the time, if you're a new artist, you can't. But if you're someone like us, where we came with a full catalog that we still got our masters back, by the way, and everything.
Dope.
But the catalog was selling before we signed. So we could negotiate that. So our deal with Capitol at one point was 50-50, where we both share all the expenses. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists have that, that's like a John Bellion would have that, or somebody like a KB might even have that right now, where it's like you pay for the music, but you keep 50%. It's huge checks come your way.
Right.
But so you want to know about, that's where it's important to know about what you're in. You know, if you're an artist, you need to know about the industry you're in. If you don't, you're going to get thrown around like a rag doll. You know, they're going to take advantage of you. They're going to pull a Suge Knight. So, I mean, outside of Tupac, what else is on Death Row Records? Dogfather? I really don't know. I mean,
yeah, there really isn't.
I don't think Dr. Dre's on there. So I'm like, what are we talking about here, you know?
Yeah. The Dog Pound and Jewel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Chingy, I think, was on it. I'm just kidding. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that. Like, I don't know how much you got. Yeah, like third. I don't know how much he got from that, but he owns the master. So he doesn't own the composition rights. He owns the master. So the composition right is like 9 cents that all the songwriters and the producers share. That's
crazy.
And so the majority stockholder is what Snoop Dogg owns. And so for that, he's probably making money, but I don't know. He would make more if he had... It pays the cost to be the boss. That record with Drop It Like It's Hot, Beautiful. If he owned that, he'd be multimillionaire in a day. Like you would make so much money. That was his big best-selling record. So he needs that. Mm. But I think Pharrell owns that, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. Or a portion of it.
Yeah.
Pharrell's kicking it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's making the thing is, you have like guy Pharrell, like who probably owns the master ownership of all the songs he's worked on. So, you know, you have, let's say 5-6% of Jay-Z, you have 5-6% of all these different artists talking out of my hat because I'm assuming, but that's what a producer like Pharrell would get. He would get a higher royalty rate. So he's probably caking. He doesn't have to make another song his whole entire life, but you know,
especially for the artists that he produced for and the numbers that they're doing.
Yeah, just the Timberlake records probably get. I always think about it. So songwriters, we get paid 5 times a year if you're on BMI. I always wonder what's like a Drake BMI check. What does that look like? I have no idea. Probably like 7-8 million plus, like in every couple months he's getting just off like a 9 cent royalty rate. You know,
that's crazy. I was looking at Bad Bunny's numbers, like right from Spotify. They say, I think 14.8 billion that he did, and that little, and what he made off of that was 36.2 million.
I think he made more now. He owns his.
He made more now. Yeah, he hit.
Yeah, he owns now his label. He's going through Orchid. He goes through Orchid, which is like the biggest. They're more of like a marketing firm that became a label, and he was able to fund everything in his life because he owns his master, and that's why it's really important for you to own as an artist. You need to own your master. Why whenever I say, I hate the word master. I don't know why. I hate saying it. You got to own your master. It sounds so odd coming out of my mouth, but you have to own the master file. Big pause. You have to own the master file because that's where the money is. And that's where labels make their bread. So artists like Ice Spice, she's making, a small percentage, and the label is caking right now. Caking.
So you see like the difference, right? Because like you're saying, because look how much he's making off of his billion streams. And, you know, as opposed to Snoop.
He's not making 45 grand, I'm telling you that.
Right, per billion. I mean,
he's making, I mean, I'm trying to find this royalty calculator that I have. And the thing is also about him, he produces his own stuff too a lot. And so just imagine you're, so Snoop doesn't produce. So he's only making a portion of a portion of a portion. They have an artist like Bad Bunny who owns the he produced the song and then he wrote the song and then he, you know, he's going bananas. I have a royalty calculator that tells me too, like what that's all of crazy. That. So I'm gonna look it up right now and put how much would it take to make 45 grand? It's probably like 30 million streams. That's it. But that just shows you how bad that his royalty probably is. Snoop Dogg.
That's easy. That's easy for him too. 30 million streams. Like if he just put out like just any record, I feel like he could easily do it.
So check this out, all right? So 30 million streams on Spotify is $120,000. That's if he made the whole song, 30 million streams, right? On Apple Music, if you do 30 million streams, it's $150,000. Just how bad is that contract? I don't know if it's the contract he negotiated or what that is, or you know, maybe he got an advance or something, but something feels off about that number. Or just maybe it's the old world, the old world contracts that used to be outrageous. I don't know.
Whew. That blows.
Yeah, that is crazy, man.
Just made it all back in insurance commercials, so he's fine. He's the general now, you know. The general, you know, it's him and Shaq now. He'll be fine.
He did that at the Corona, and then the
Corona commercial.
Snoop and Shaq are everywhere. They're everywhere. Yeah. There's not like there's Shaq. They sell Shaq juice. You know what I'm saying? It's like a tea. Big pause. They sell Shaq. They sell a Shaq twisted tea. You know. Then they have Snoop Dogg. If you go to like a dispensary, you can see the signs driving in L.A. They have, Snoop Dogg has his own weed company. He's probably making I would assume Snoop is in close to the billion dollars
worth. I saw his cereal at Walmart.
Yeah, man, what are we doing? He's so cereal.
He got cereal, yo. That's crazy.
He's like what they call doggy snacks.
Yeah, I have no idea. And they look crazy, but they only like $1.50 a box though.
Oh, okay. Crazy GMO cereal, right?
Probably, you know, because they were complaining.
They in the bag. They don't even come in a box. It's in the bag.
I come in a box. It ain't in the bag. But you know, they were complaining recently because they said Walmart was hiding them. They was putting them at the top of the shelf and hiding them.
Okay.
But I saw them. It was out up front.
But you got to pay for that prime
the prime real estate on the shelf. Like,
right? Yeah, you got to pay for that. That's like eye level. You pay for that, son.
Yeah, well, it was out. It was on display. I was like, oh, there they go. Joints look bootleg as hell. But
you caught them. You caught some of his cereal and some Backwoods.
What happened?
What's his flavor? What's the flavor of the cereal?
But they had like blueberry and they had
it's like Crip blueberry. Okay.
Right. Yeah, you know what? Right. They had that. They had and I don't I don't even remember. I just remember seeing the big blue box. I remember that. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think to buy it or try it. You know? Just happened to walk by and say, oh, there goes the Snoop cereal. Keep it moving.
My son came home with
but what?
I don't mean to change the subject, but
Are you good? You good? I didn't even know you was a little glitching for a minute.
Oh, me? A word? My bad. That was Jay. Jay left. My son came home with them wrap snacks. You seen them chips?
The Boosie hot chips.
I was like, why?
Wait. Now you saying that? Have you tried them?
Nah, I ain't tried them. I didn't try them.
Bro, the kids today, right? Yeah. My son and my daughter come in the house and they're like, yo, you gotta try this. I'm like, all right, okay. So they open up the bag. It was Rick Ross. What is it? Sweet chili lemon pepper.
Lemon pepper.
Right. So I try it. I'm like, wait, ugh. Right. I was like, right. Sounds just like, oh, yeah, bro. It was good though. It was good. The sweet chili lemon pepper. The bags are huge, but it was good. So it was actually it wasn't bad. And then the Snoop was, I think it's like sour cream barbecue or something like that. But it was actually good.
They got everybody too, man. Like, who is that? Smart. Is that Master P's joint or that somebody else's?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Because they got everybody.
Very smart. Really smart idea.
Yeah. It's good though. Try it, Jimmy.
I can never find them. I can't find them anywhere. But the thing is, I don't really pump gas at like those gas stations that, you know what I'm saying? Like some gas station, you have to have that right gas station that would sell it.
Know we got it from? Sam's Club.
Oh.
We got them from Sam's Club. They
big box? Like the big box of it?
Yeah, the big box.
Oh my God. All the flavors, Boosie's on the side of it.
Yeah, the big box. The kids my son was like, oh, let's try these. And I'm like, you sure you want those? All
right.
And he was like, well, he saw the flavors. He was like, well, I want to try them. I'm like, all right. And it was cheaper than like the Lay's.
So I feel like it comes with like high blood pressure if you cop them like automatically and diabetes.
All of them, bro.
No, especially those. Those just
the Rick Ross ones in particular, probably.
For sure.
So probably just 1,000 calories a bag.
Easy.
But hey, I'm telling you, Jimmy, try them. Try and watch. Then you're gonna be on the next show sucking on your fingers with a sweet chili lemon pepper.
Available at your local Fast Track right now. Just kidding.
I'm gonna wait on those Social Club Misfit Tostones chips.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. Heck yeah. You already know Tostones for sure. It's a wrap. That's a really smart idea. I'll be surprised if Bad Bunny doesn't come out with something like that. Like
he should, sure, right?
Right, yeah.
That's true. That's a
great idea. That's a great idea.
I don't know. Bad Bunny. Yeah, TNC gets
10%, Marty.
Edit that out.
He said edit that out.
That idea will be stolen soon.
Right. You're going to take my IP. I got to get my joint, you know, trademark.
Heard it here first.
Facts, though. Creative Network says... It's really Marty. Thought it was clickbait, like the money giveaway. Hey, listen.
Wow.
Nah, we gave money away. What do you mean?
We gave money away. We might get some more today. All right.
This guy. Yo, don't start. Don't do that. Yeah, yeah.
Make sure you subscribe. We're gonna be checking. So I disappeared for like a couple minutes.
What happened?
All the crap talking about New York City.
What happened?
The power went out.
Wow.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, it just came. It went away. We thought it was just us. But then we called our next door neighbor, and they were like, "Yeah, our power went out too," and then it just came back. So very weird. I don't know what's going on.
Hey Jay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
are those sound things in the back? Did they do anything? are they doing anything back there?
Yeah. They're just here for decoration, Marty.
Are they doing anything back there? I'm sorry.
They're actually falling off. So
no.
Yeah.
It used to be a whole wall, and then now that's what
little by little.
Yeah. You know what happens, Marty? You're new at this. When you start having kids and they start walking,
are you serious?
It's a wrap. Yeah,
they start tearing everything off the walls.
Derek Meyer told me the same thing. He said his kids, he's got like two boys, like similar age. Right. He goes, you wouldn't believe the things they do in the bathroom. You would not believe. He goes, this urine all over the walls. He's like, they do not care. He's like, boys don't care. So I'm like, ugh. I have a little boy.
But this dude had a whole wall. And now look, you know, 200-something episodes in, that's where he got left.
Climbing the wall. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So. Kids. Kids.
They wrapped themselves in Velcro and then jumped against the wall.
Right.
All the stuff we did as kids, they've evolved to be. One day I remember my uncle pulling up to the house and I jumped on top of his car and ran over it.
Yeah,
and I like what the stuff that we would do as kid. I don't like. Why would I do that? I have no idea. But
that's a beating.
Yeah.
If you don't flip over the car,
yeah.
Right.
I got hurt. No, I got hurt for real.
Oh, but you did?
You didn't get hurt. You know, I'm like, I'm fine. I'm like out of breath, you know, when you're catching your breath, like a little tear in your eye. You're like, I'm fine. You know, just trying to. I'm fine. That was me. I'm fine.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I'd be like that, man. Like now that we got like, you know, Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, man, I see all those like epic fail videos, man. And I'm scared to ride my skateboard. And I used to be a skater when I was a kid. You know what I mean? But just seeing all them videos, I'm like traumatized. Like, no, man.
Have you guys ever fell in public like recently? Have you guys fallen
recently?
Like recently, like fallen where somebody's like, watching. Like you, like a public, like falling situation. I just had one the other day. I was walking down a hill because my car is getting fixed. It was raining in Cali, of course, and I drove over some rock and it ripped off my, like, my bumper detached. So getting it fixed, and I decided to go over the hill and wait for my Uber to pick me up to go to a coffee shop. And as I'm going down the hill, I fell, like, aggressively fell on my knees. And I was just like on my, like, my knees gave out and there's no one around. So I had to process all the shame by myself. Cause I was like, no one saw, you know, it's just like shameful. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I had my knees got like bloody scratched. I was bleeding. Mm. I had to pretend like it didn't happen. I was like secretly in pain. You know, you want to like call somebody.
Started
and tell
doing push ups, right?
So just I rolled. It was so bad. I rolled on the ground. I got up and then the Uber's pulling up like, what the heck are you doing over here? I'm like, I don't know. Just go to Starbucks, please.
I'm just doing calisthenics stuff.
Yeah, don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Like, by the way, you have any Band-Aids?
Yeah. You got some paper towels? I got cut on your door.
It hasn't happened to me recently, but when my kids were younger, they got skateboards for Christmas. And I used to skate as a kid. So I was like, I'm going to ride a skateboard to, you know, to the corner store, go get myself, you know, a frappuccino or something, and I'm skating, man. I'm mashing down the street, and I hit a rock, and I just flying like Superman, like for real. I even like turn and look, you know what I mean? Like, I tucked and rolled, and these kids started laughing at me. I was like, I'm good. Dang. I'm too old for this, man.
Yeah,
I was hurting for days.
Yeah, and no one knows because you're just like, we're older now, so it's like it hurts worse, man. Yeah. It hurts.
So, Marty, I got a question. Crazy stuff be happening to you. You tweeted.
Yeah, bad stuff be happening.
You tweeted 15 hours ago.
Yeah.
And I just started laughing when I read the tweet. So you were like, you know, on you know, Reels or TikTok or whatever, you have these people that are going around asking, you know, what do you do for a living? And
They give That's you the LA. Course.
Yeah, yeah. In New York, too, they'd be doing it.
Yeah.
So you tweeted and you said, hey, there's a viral video out where people are doing interviews on the street. Yes, I'm in it. Someone was asking strangers if they believe in Jesus Christ. My response was yes, but I don't want to talk to you right now. I came to get Erewhon to get a $17 smoothie, not to get into a debate.
Yeah, so there's like an expensive smoothie. Yeah, there's an expensive smoothie that they sell there too. It's the Justin Bieber's Hailey Bieber smoothie, they call it. It's like a $17 smoothie.
That's how you order it.
Yeah, it's called the Hailey Bieber smoothie. And so I was going there, and this guy's. But me in the video, you really don't like. You don't. It's not like I'm like highlight or anything like that. It's more of him being like, nobody wants to talk to me, and it's me next to him, like, get away from me type thing. And it's like a real quick.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. I was like, I know this is gonna come. There's a couple things that, like, one time I went to Universal Studios, and I don't even know this is blogger, famous blogger, and he's filming, and I'm like talking to my wife, and we're like laughing behind him, and my wife looked up his name because he had this big camera, and looked up his because he had his name on his shirt like an idiot, and my wife looked it up, and she saw us in the back of the video. There's a couple anytime in New York, LA, or Miami, you gotta be careful. You'll be on camera. There's a couple friends I know, like famous rapper guys that you know. I guess they're Christian. I don't know if they're famous, but they're well known. But they're in videos too that we joke around privately. And I'm always like, if people just knew that we're all over videos, like Christian artists and people, and it's a funny situation. But yeah, I was like, dude, not today. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. Get away from me.
I haven't had my smoothie yet. Leave me alone.
Well, I mean, it was like traffic. You know, it's like 40 minutes of traffic to get there to try it because I wanted to try anywhere, the viral smoothie. Yeah, it's 45 minutes to get to Cali, and to get it to Los Angeles when you're in Los Angeles. It's like Miami's the same thing. 3 hours to get to Miami, you're here. But yeah, I'm good. I was like, it's just too early. Just don't get away from me right now. I don't know. So I was like, if someone sees that, I just want to you know what inspired me to apologize was I saw Fat Joe apologize.
Oh yeah.
Because he's like joking around but being serious. He's like, I have shoes older than you. Trolling the kid. And I was like, man, like no one I didn't even see the video. All I saw was Fat Joe apologize. So I'm like, you know what? I should just, in case someone sees him, like, yo, that's Marty or something. Hey guys, I'm not a jerk. I don't want to talk at 9 a.m. in the morning about it. If I believe in Jesus Christ, and then Sometimes I'll tell people I don't believe in Jesus just to hear how good their pitch is from the gospel. I'm like, let me see the pitch. Let me see what you're working with, because it's not good. Let me tell you this right now. I had a guy once, I told a guy I don't believe in Jesus just to see what he would say. Mm-hmm. And he pulled out a magic trick. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. You got to do better than that. He had a magic. He had these two cards that looked like one card looked bigger than the other. And he was like, look, it's like an optical illusion. And I was like, that's how you're going to present the gospel? That's what we're going to use here? That's what we're going with?
Yo, you ran into the Christian Carrot Top.
That's crazy. I met David Blaine over here. David Shane.
Wow.
Dude was trying to pull a rabbit out the hat and preach about Jesus. I was like, I don't need this. I was going to see the movies. He was right in front of the movie theater. And I was like, I don't got time
for this.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what you're doing, but you ever see Jim Jones when he gets mad? He's like, that's our thing. We always make fun of it. I'm like, just get away from me. Get away. You know, that's my new thing. Someone in the chat goes, I have those cards. I'm telling you. I'm not even joking around. He ran into him.
That's what
he has those. And the back of them have scriptures. And the front of it, it's like these little, it's really a shame.
Yeah. Those little joints you get at the Bible bookstore back in the day.
Yo, that's crazy.
It's right next to that piece of bread that has like little like triangle scriptures when you pull it out. You ever seen that? Like it's like a loaf of bread that's like
it's like a fortune cookie.
It's like no, but it's like plastic fortune. It's like daily bread, and you pull out like a little fortune cookie of like your scripture for the day. I actually just got one. I went to Calvary Chapel. I was trying out churches, and they sold it. And I bought it. It's like my fortune cookie for the day.
I have that.
Blessed and highly favored. I believe if I don't like the scripture, I'm like, let me try again. Right, you know,
that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Do over.
Wisdom comes with patience. Nah, that's not for me today. I'm gonna get down. You know, repent. I don't know about that right now. No. Be angry. It's like be angry, but sin not. I want to sin. I want to sin today.
Especially if they get your smoothie wrong, you know what I'm saying?
They can't get it wrong. It's I don't even know what's in it, but you should look it up. It's a Hailey Bieber smoothie.
It's just like $17 smoothie.
$17 stupid. It's delicious. It's incredible, but
wait, like how many? Like I won't say how.
It's a real thing. No, let me see if I can pull it up and send.
No. But like the what is it? Like a medium, large? Like how many ounces?
It's like a medium. Like I don't think they didn't really have sizes. I just asked for it. Yeah.
That's wild.
And I could just make it at home. You know.
Welcome to LA.
It's supposed to do wonders for your skin. So you know.
Sheesh. You know what I'm saying, Aunt? You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you, man. When you send those reports to New York and San Francisco and all these other places where
can't even get the zoom in. All you can see is the bottom red, but crazy.
That's crazy.
It is. So listen, maybe you can get a sponsorship off of this now. You know what I mean?
Right, promoting them. Maybe he might get it. A month free or something. I don't know.
So that place, Air One, is the most expensive grocery store in the world. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Like you can get like a salad, like a pre-made salad, it's like $30. It's like a very wealthy.
No.
It's like outrageous. It's like North Korea prices. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like out of it doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like the rationale. Yeah. It's like communist prices. It's like it's so expensive to get meat.
You gotta give up your kid.
Stuck to grain. You know, I'm stuck with grain here. I can't eat meat right now.
All right.
Good Lord.
That's Jeez. For the well off.
That is. Bro. That is crazy. Wow. So you were living in Miami.
Yes.
And you decided to go to California. Yeah. Right? You mentioned earlier, right? You like the beach and all that stuff. What other reason did you leave beautiful, free Miami to go to communist California?
Yeah. Right. Well, people think Florida is free. It's very not free. It's pretty.
It's freer than California, New York.
On what scale? That's the question. On what scale are we talking about?
Mm.
Like what's free? Like Florida to me is like, I feel this is a hot take right here. I feel safer in California than Florida. I know that sounds crazy, but I live in Orange County. It's different, you know, but in Florida, Florida's scary. Like Florida, I mean, Like, my old high school was the high school that got shut up in 2018, that like 30 kids got killed. Like, we have gun issues. Like, that's one thing I never fear. Like, growing up with guns was normal. Like, growing up seeing kids get, like, I remember my first fight I ever saw in high school, a kid pulled out a gun. Like, having guns, California, you really can't have a gun. You really, they're strict on those laws. So just the idea of not getting shot is crazy to me. Like, thinking, like, going to the fair and not experiencing a drive-by. Like, that last time I went to the fair in Florida, in Miami-Dade County Fair, there was like a drive-by right before I walked in. That is a weird experience. Also, people are way nicer in California. It's like a give and take, you know. Like, Florida has way better food, in my opinion. Florida, you know, you can get away with a lot in Florida, I guess you could say. You know what I'm saying? You can get away with a lot. California, they'll be on you. But I definitely think Florida has better food. I love Florida. If I can go, me and my wife talk about maybe going back to Florida. I love Florida. I love it. The weather here is just better. That's something you can't get. But yeah, I think, I mean, I bought my first house in Florida. I love it. I still have that house. It's my favorite. It's beautiful. It was like perfect for us. When we got married, we got a house. Over here in California, I got a rent. I don't know if I can even get a house eventually. We'll see what happens. Yeah. So it's different. Like, the money is definitely goes longer in Florida, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can't read any book about anybody who's not white. That's the other thing. You can only read anything about Martin Luther King. You have to read everything about Sean King, you know? I'm just kidding. I just saw him in the news.
Talking
man. Yeah, yeah.
I just saw him. He's like Palestinian now. Oh no, he's not. He's Muslim now, right?
He's Muslim. Yeah. He's converted.
Pastor. Yeah, he used to be a pastor.
I didn't know that.
He was a pastor. Yeah, he was a pastor and had a church, and like, I think he was an Ark Church or something like that, like Assemblies of God or Ark Church. He had a whole church.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Wait, so I'm gonna go back. So what was the real reason for you?
Oh yeah, I didn't even answer your question. Yeah. So the real reason is, you know, we have a house in Florida. We loved Florida, but my wife, her family's from California, and so we just felt, it sounds crazy, but we felt like God was pulling us there. And I only like four times, like, I meet people all the time. I mean, you know, I perform at churches. I do a lot of, I'm in the world, Christian world. And people always hearing God's voice. I never hear God's voice ever. I really rarely ever do. But when I do, I do. And this is like the fourth time I really felt God say, hey, I want you to California, do something new. There was a leap of faith, but everything worked out. The only thing that didn't work out is we got pregnant. That was like not in the cards. We were like, whoa, what just happened here? As soon as we moved, 2 weeks in, we got pregnant. And so besides that, I mean, we just felt the call of God. And, you know, my first song that I dropped in January was about finding a church, because I could not find a church in California that
I was going to get into.
Had the Holy, like, it's an odd thing to want a church that has the Holy Spirit out here. You know, everything is very, just cold for me. And I love, I'm, you know, we're Latin, you know, we want to go to a church that has instruments when they do worship, you know? And so we went to like 30 churches. I couldn't find a church. And so we finally found a church, two churches I love, a bunch of churches I love, but close to us. You know, you want a church that's like 15 minutes away. So we just felt the Holy Spirit move us out here, and everything, we told each other, if everything works out, we'll do it. And everything literally worked out perfectly. And so we love it out here. I'm not complaining. It's amazing. I've had so many opportunities just being in California, like writing for really large artists and working for people who are not in the world that I'm in. God has swung the doors open for me to do a lot of stuff. Sync, which is like TV stuff.
God just really
opened that door. I would have never had any of that in Florida. But being in California and being a clean rapper is it's really hard thing to find out here, because everyone's like rapping with profanity, and sometimes these sync companies, they don't want to have to edit you out every 5 seconds, so they want to have a clean artist that doesn't talk about women and money as like a focal point. And so that was a big point also. And I just felt like, also, you know how you, I don't know if you guys ever felt like this, like it's just the same old thing over and over, and it's like the repetition, just the normalcy of life just killed me. And I just was felt like I don't want to live the same life in Florida. I want to live a life that I'm proud of and that I feel like God's really using me in a strong way. And so California, we tried it. We're trying it. And if it works out, great. If not, we'll go back home. And but he made everything. He made a way. What can I say?
That's dope. Yeah. That's really dope. You know, and it's just confirmation, especially if, like, you know, you heard him, you know, you saying this is a handful of times, you know what I mean? And then you see like doors open up and everything. That's really dope. You know?
I know Christians are, and I, for some reason, people keep saying this to me. Children are a blessing, Marty. You see the comment right there? Yeah. Children are a blessing. Blessing. I know they are a blessing. 100%. Kids are blessings. But for right now, he cost me $1.1 million.
You made the show, he bars.
Yeah, I'm Michael Scott, and I'm like, I declare bankruptcy. You know, it's just, thank God for insurance. But I think that if I would have had that kid in Florida, I don't know if I would have been able to afford that with insurance and the way that things are. So it almost like worked out in our favor that we had the kid in California. So I love him. He's my favorite. He's my best friend. I love this little kid. He's only like 3 months old, and I adore him. So
yeah,
I don't want anybody to think I'm a bad father. So yeah,
No, not at all.
And staying in the line of, you know, you just had a kid. He's 3 months old. How are you balancing being a dad, being, you know, with your wife, and then also with your career as a as an artist, especially in Christian hip hop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, man, it's hard. It's not, I'm not gonna lie. So if anyone has kids, you know, like the first 3 months, you're a zombie, you're just exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they say, don't let your kids sleep on your chest. That's all he's done, because I'm trying to go to sleep too. I position myself for like two pillows so that he doesn't fall off. But, this is my schedule. 8 p.m. I go to sleep. I wake up at 2 a.m. and then I, you know, start the day from there on. So 5 a.m. in Florida, I'm awake. And then, you know, I go back to bed at 8 p.m. And so my schedule's off. And so my wife does a great job of allowing me to have like 9 to 5 is kind of like how I work. Mm-hmm. So I'm 9 to 5 when I work my music. And then when I tour, you know, we need her mom to help us out. And luckily we live in California where her mom is available to come by the house and take care of the baby. So we're very, very blessed because we have a great support system. Probably, I don't know if we would have that in Florida, but we have that over here. And so we're very, very blessed.
That's very, very.
But, and then also I would say, if you're an artist and you have a kid, make sure you are working like with 3 months in advance on your mind. Because for me, it's like, thank God I already had 30 songs ready to go. Cause if something were to happen, I could just promote it. I shot the content before I had the kid. All the stuff I've been posting, I already had shot last October. So I'd prepared just in case something, you know, if I couldn't work. Yeah. And it worked out pretty well.
Nice.
Living in LA and living in New York, living in Miami, when it comes to being an artist or being in media and all the stuff, right? These are like sort of like the meccas, especially LA, right? When it comes to record labels. What have you seen, or how do you feel like you can contribute with, you know, artistry in LA specifically?
Yeah, it's a great question.
That you were different when it came to Miami.
Yeah, I've lived in New York, I lived in Miami, and I lived in LA. And Miami is great, great place, a great, like, good soil for artists that want to blossom and grow. So is California, so is New York. Like, the support of the communities is amazing. Those three areas always have concerts and stuff. My contribution, I think, in California, starting a record label, one thing I really want to do is create a label that allows artists to make money and not feel like, you know, most record labels, if you sign to them, the label's making more money than you are. You know, they'll front the money and then you have to pay it back. It's a whole thing. I want to create a fair place for artists to be able to make money. And then, so that's my first goal out here. The second goal out here is I'm going to be partnering with a company. And I kind of announced on an Instagram, but I'm partnering with a company that I'm going to start throwing these festivals out here. I think I want to do a couple things. I want to do a live podcast out here. I have an open a really great warehouse type of facility where it has a light, has cameras, has everything you need for artists to do showcases. And you know, so one of the things I want to do is bring some festivals out to California, to Southern California in particular, because there's nothing out here. I mean there's really nothing out here.
There was one.
Which one?
It never happened.
Oh, there's that. So yeah, there's, yeah. I mean, and I'm talking about like a consistent festival. Like it's always like a branch off something else. So I wish I could announce it, but there's a festival that is a huge festival that we're going to do, a downtown LA one that I'm really excited about. Okay. But besides that, I mean, I feel like it's my goal to champion artists out here. And that's something that artists don't have, is support systems. And that's the hardest part about being an artist, is navigating it. But I've been signed, I've been independent, I've been successful for both. Like when we were independent, the money that we made was absolutely bananas, and we used it, you know, we used it to put it back in the company. We used it to buy out venues to tour. Like we were very, very good stewards of our money. And that's why by the time we were signed, the money wasn't misused. And so we were able to recoup on every single album. Most artists, they don't even recoup. They can't make the money back from their first album. So they're constantly in a layer of debt. We left the label in the green. We made money. That's why we were able to get our masters instantly back. And so that's that. I feel like I have that wisdom of, I've had the contracts. I've, you know, before we signed to Capitol Records, we had 6 contracts in front of us laid out of what we wanted to sign. And I saw every single contract. And my lawyer was absolutely the best. So she was breaking it down. This is what this means. This is what we wanted was freedom, money, and the highest rate of royalty that we could get. And I felt like Capitol was the best artist friendly label, and they really are. And they're great. And granted, you know, no one always gets it right. So people always have this chip on their shoulder about labels, but I enjoyed our experience and I loved it. And I would do the same thing I did. And now that I'm independent, fully independent, and have my own label, my goal is to champion artists and people, creatives that feel like they just need someone to help them out because they don't know where to take their music. And some people, especially in California, the talent out here is so ridiculous that I know I'm going to find 4 or 5 artists that we're going to take over the West Coast for sure.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Where did you learn about kind of keeping the business and everything, you know, cash flow positive and all that stuff?
I guess probably in the corporate world. When I turned 18, I worked at a store called Nordstrom, and I worked there for 10 years. I ended up becoming like one of the youngest assistant store managers. I worked in HR, and then I also handled all the money for the store. I was like accounting when I was in HR. I was, you know, handle all the books and stuff like that. Granted, you know, like it's an easy system. It's like you can't really mess it up, but I worked the books. I had to cook them all. I was cooking books. And so that helped me out a lot, but also just this idea of knowing that you are your best investment. And so you want to put money back in the company. You want to put money back in yourself. Most artists that I know, when they get that first initial check, the first thing that they do is they waste their money. And so the first thing they do is they buy the house or they buy the car or they buy something that they don't need to buy. And so that money wasted just totally. And, you know, Christians don't really get major label contracts. So the few artists that I know, we got a big advance, but most artists that I know don't get advances. They get nothing. You know, they're signed to a label and they're getting maybe 10 grand as an advance. What do you do with that? I mean, that's to hold you over till you release music. And so, and then sometimes it's even to pay for the music. So just what are you going to afford with 10 grand? I don't know. Yeah. Not nowadays. You know, you can't, some beats are like 5 grand to buy a beat, to make a radio song. It's 5 grand out the gate, you know? So we always felt like, let's make sure we lived within our means, lived our wage, acted our wage. That was a big deal. We would always say that. Fern did the whole Dave Ramsey course. And so, you know, for us, we always felt like investing in ourselves was the top priority. And then from there, the excess money is what we would put back, you know, we'd give ourselves, but it was always company first. And so it always worked out in our favor. God always provided. We always did what was right. We never wasted our money, but learning probably from the corporate world, to be honest with you.
Mm, yeah. That's dope. That is. You mentioned Fern.
Yeah.
What's up with Social Club Misfits? Well, you guys rebranded to Social Club Misfits with
Capitol. Yeah, we had to.
Prior with Social. Yeah.
Yeah, so when we signed to Capitol, we found out there was like 400 other bands called Social Club.
Yeah.
We were one of 400. So it was really hard to copyright everything without getting sued or having to like hire specialists to do everything for us. And so that's why we added Misfits, really. It was like a money thing.
Yeah. Yeah, your last album as Social Club was in 2022. And then, you know, you've branched out, you've had your own albums, Fern as well. So is there anything coming up with Social Club together or are you guys, you know?
Yeah. So, for Social Club, I think the idea for we grew up listening to Dipset. We grew up listening to Wu-Tang, you know, like those are our favorite artists. We love Juelz and Cam and Dipset, like Jim Jones, like it's a New York thing. You just love it. You know, you love Terror Squad. You love the gang. You love like DMX and Rough Riders. Like, we love the squad. So the idea for Social Club was, let's do Social Club and then also branch out and do our own thing as well. Yeah. That was always the model for us. The issue is that Social Club became so popular that we kind of got pigeonholed because the labels were like, you could do your own thing, but Social Club is constantly making money. Why not just do Social Club? And so even Marty for President did so well. It was hard because my album was number one in all of music at one point. You know, Fern did really well. And so it's like, we always felt like we were three in one. We're like the Trinity. That's blasphemous, but it was like Social Club. It was Social Club, Marty, Fern. It wasn't blasphemous. It was nice.
Roasted Social Club, in the comments.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to look. I'm just going to do one of these. But this is all the burn marks from cooking outside in California. But Social Club, Fern, Marty, we're all just one entity. And so we're going back to that model. So Fern dropped a song last week with AJ Ramos. I'm on my third song. I'm going to drop a song for as long as it takes until our careers get back to where I want it to be. And I want to, this time, now that I've done it before, I'm like, let's do it the way I want to do it. And how would that look like? And so everything that I'm doing right now is shifting my brand, Social Club, and Fern into a place that's a legacy artist. You know, like, even though I'm like 35 and I love what I do, like, I feel like I'm 25 again, and I have the wisdom. I know how to produce now. I know how to do every part of the business. I don't need anybody. And so that's just what I'm going to pursue. And then in the process, supporting others is really important. It's high on my priority list.
Yo, looking back at that, right? Because you're saying, you know, the business, you're producing, like, the growth, right? Because you said that, I think I watched the interview, you said that someone just came up to you and prophesied to you and was like, you're going to rap.
Yes.
You're going to produce, right?
I can't believe you saw that. Wow.
Yeah. And to think, right, from that point where you're like, I don't even know who this person is. I can't rap for nothing or produce whatever, to now. Now, right, to where you're at now, like, what, when you think back on that, like, how does that make you feel?
Well, I think the first thing I think about is that comment right there that says, so you love Satan's servants of music.
Oh, that's Kyle. He's the most blocked man in CHH history.
Harlem World, baby. All right, yeah. So it's funny. So I just got saved. I was on a missions trip in Canada, and we were we got invited to a Native American tribal community where you only can go if you are invited. They don't have any police there. They have their own, you know, it's like, it's tribal land. It's different. So I go there with my dad, and I'm working for a guy. I'm doing like lighting and helping out with cameras, and I'm 18, holding a camera like this. I just gotten saved. And this guy walks up to me and says, hey, actually, what's crazy is that everything I'm doing right now, he had prophesied over 15 years ago. He had prophesied I was going to go to California. He prophesied I'd have my own studio. He prophesied I'd have my own label. He prophesied that I'd tour the world. I did all that. He prophesied that I would, like, everything that he prophesied really did come true. And, you know, I feel like sometimes God gives you the vision, like, gives you, like, hey, this is what you're called to do. And he doesn't. You know, the Bible says we work with God, and I believe that. I don't believe that God just does it all, but I do believe that, you know, in Proverbs it says twice that our steps are ordered. You know, the righteous man's steps are ordered. I feel like it was my job to stay, to do what was right and let God take the rest of it, you know? And so for us, that was kind of it. I mean, prophesied, and I didn't even do music. I remember thinking to myself, like, this will never happen, ever. I'm never going to do this. And he has it on camera, of all things. I can still watch it back. Yeah, which is crazy. It had to be like 2008. And I remember we were in this small church and he said that to me, and I always held it in my heart. I actually wrote it down and I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. And literally every single thing he said, I'm living it right now over 10 years later. He also said I'd have a ministry in California. So I don't even know. Maybe that is my label. Maybe it's a ministry. I don't know what it is, but everything he said 100% came true, which is crazy. You know, even the idea of me having a kid out in California, like, everything, God literally has prepared the way. And I want to say, like, there's so many things in my life that I look back and I'm like, that is the hand of God that has guided me throughout my life. And no one could tell me that God is not real. I've seen his hand. I've seen supernatural acts happen with my aunt who was cured of cancer. I've seen like, you know, it's different when it happens to someone. It's different when it's personal, you know, and it happened to us. It happened to me. It happened to you. And it's not just like somebody's friend. You know, it's like, I remember when the pandemic happened, everyone was like, hey, my friend works in government. And he said that they're going to shut, you know, everyone had that like text. It's not, you know, no one knows that guy. Who was that guy? That's on Reddit.
Everybody had that cousin, right?
Yeah. This actually happened to me. This is not somebody was random. This is my family. These are people I grew up with. And so literally everything that he said, I wrote it down. I'll find it. I still have it somewhere. Everything happened. And God is good and he gets all the glory. And I could tell you this, like I submitted to God and there were a lot of years I was behind the scenes and no one saw. And in those years, God shaped me. Even in 2020, I went back to school. I always knew that if God called me to do it, it was my job to reach for that. Right. So even in 2020, I went back to school. I went to Berkeley online in Boston. And I took some classes on how to write, how to be a better writer, how to be a better producer. I mean, I invested in myself and that's what I'm talking about. Everyone needs to invest in yourself because no one else is going to do it. And you don't need to wait for permission. You just need to do it. And that's the hard part is that most people need permission in life. And if you realize that there's no one's going to do it for you, you have to do it yourself. Something will click and you'll be like, all right, let's get it. Why not?
Yeah, that's dope.
Nice. One last question from me, and that's what direction you think, being that you have your label, you're producing, what direction do you think music and or Christian hip hop is going to take within the couple years from now?
Yeah, I think right now Christian hip hop, in my opinion, this is a hot take. It's a little too soft for me. I think that there's a lot of great artists out there. Like I love Caleb Gordon. I love a lot of what's coming out, but there's a lot of like soft, like
what do you mean by soft?
I don't want to call out the artists, but I do feel like my influences in the mainstream is like hard music. Like I love Dipset. I love music that like, I love East Coast. I love rap. I'm sick of trap. I'm sick of hearing trap music and like everyone singing and being so sweet. Like I want the gospel to be on full display in our music. And when I say soft, I mean like we need to get into like the nitty gritty of what God has actually done. I'm sick of like hearing testimonies that aren't specific, you know, like we talk about God in a way, it's like, yeah, he healed me of all those things. And it's like, I feel like Christian music is becoming more honest and more transparent. And I just think it's this generation. They're really good at being honest with their music. And so there are a lot of great artists out there. But I do feel like right now what is selling is it's not for me. It's just not, I'm not the core audience that whatever's selling right now. And so I feel like a piece of my calling is to bring like a new wave of Christian music that is, it's not supposed to be something where it's like, oh, I didn't know that this was Christian type of music. More of how authentic can we be and how authentic can we be and how consistent can we be? And I just think that, you know, Reach has had it for years and I love Reach. I mean, I love every single artist that's signed there. I love Cray, but it's like, it's been that for so long. It's finally good to have artists like Caleb Gordon and Alano's coming out. And there's so many great, and Young Chris and Don Reddy. There's so many artists that need to get highlighted. And the cool thing is that they've been able to there's no gatekeeper anymore. So these artists are blowing up. There's a new artist I just found out. I know his real name. I forgot his artist name, but he has 400,000 followers on Instagram. He does like hardcore hip hop. Like, and so they always talk about how, you know, hard rap doesn't sell, but this kid is making it work and it's killing it right now. And I'm like,
who's the kid?
Let me find him right now. I know his real name, but I don't want to tell you it because I feel like if I told you his real name, you'd make fun of him.
His name's Wayne.
No. It's almost like a European name.
His name's Gerald.
Well, I mean, from what you're describing, it sounds like a lot of the gritty CHH stuff that's going on right now.
You know, I support it. Like, I love Dayton. Like, that's the first artist I've ever worked with, you know?
Yeah, you did some beats for him, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did two whole projects for him because that's what I feel like I would love to see more of. to be honest with you. I mean, I would love to see more, because that's the type of music I listen to. You know, when like Kanye West was like, you know, I was making College Dropout, but the truth is I was listening to like the hard rap. I was listening to like the hood stuff. That's kind of, I feel like, what I was raised on. I was raised on music that made you feel some type of way, you know, and not trying to be aggressive, but something where it just, I don't know, it just connected to me. And that's why Dipset and all these bands really connected to me growing up. Because why can't I find this guy's name? I don't know. I connected to a certain level of hip hop, and that's what I want to bring back. Here he is. His name is Eluza. It's E-L-U-Z-A-A. Yeah, sorry. E-L-U.
He plays music, right?
Yeah. Z-A-I. This dude is what I'm talking about, of the level of hip hop that we need to start making as believers. That type of music is the type of music that I want to see in the Christian world. I just want to see music that, I love the worshipy God stuff, the Forrest Frank stuff. It's beautiful hymns and stuff, but I want to see some hood stuff. I want to see stuff that makes me jump out the car. And yeah, but it can't be too hard. Like sometimes I listen to like Dayton's Crew and I'm like, I feel like these guys are going to hurt me. I don't want to feel that.
Yo, that's how I feel. It's
like, there's an in-between that I feel like we could have.
Yo, why are these dudes angry? Why are you so angry?
Yeah, I'm like, this dude's going to hurt. Bizzle's going to hurt me. I'm scared. You know, I don't want to do that. Scooty's nice. I see that in the chat. Scooty's really nice. Kyle over here, there's a band called Trash Music. I don't know if that's a label or are you saying that we're just trash? I don't know. But yeah, I think Scooty, I guess the best way to say it is I'm just ready for a new level of artist that is transparent, honest, and just makes like hard music that has nice drums, 808s. I'm sick of hearing the same on every single song. Like we're not doing Uzi Vert. We're not doing these Juice WRLD songs anymore. Like the industry has surpassed that. Like the Travis Scott is no one's doing that anymore. Like his last album didn't sell as much as Astroworld. Like it's almost like people want content, right? Like I can't even tell you a bar from that album. I can't tell you anything about his life. I want to hear music that has some type of substance in it. And so imagine if we were able to have that level with the gospel. And so I'm just starting to see all these new artists, and Breno is one of them. Breno, I feel like, is really fire right now. And that's like the level I want. That's what I want to hear. And so I feel like, to be honest with you guys, this is a hot take. The social club music, some of the stuff we did was way too soft. It just was like,
I've heard you say
radio
that.
Stuff. Yeah, I love you the said radio that stuff.
In another interview.
And I think I'm my own worst enemy, because I feel like the social club stuff for me was just, you know, when you start having to have radio songs and you have to fit it in, it's hard, because it's like, that's not what I want to make. Mm-hmm. But it makes our music go farther and it sells well and it does good for us. But I feel like even some of my old music was just way too soft. It wasn't authentic. It was just me trying to finish a song. And I just don't want to hear that anymore. I want to hear stuff that actually means something. He said Dipset is trash music. No, it's powerful music. That's a label. It's powerful music. That's the label that they're on.
Jesse says, I've had Gritty CHH in heavy rotation. Yeah. So I was going to mention.
Tell me more. If you guys know some, please let me know. All I know is Dayton's Crew.
YP, C4.
C4, Dayton's Crew, I know.
Wilkada.
The Commissioner.
Commissioner.
Adam.
Adam, yes.
Nice, yeah.
Adam.
Selah.
Okay, you remember back in the day when like Corey Red came out?
Yeah.
So like I almost want like a reemergence of that level. Like Corey Red was too honest almost. Like you ever heard that one AIDS song?
They got kicked out. Yeah.
Remember that one AIDS song he did? Do you guys remember that?
Is that the one where he was getting brain in a staircase?
I don't think it was that one, but there was one of them where he like, it was like an AIDS awareness rally and he was rapping about AIDS. But anyway, it was just too extreme. But like, at least with Corey, I felt like, hey man, this guy's being honest. He's putting it all out there.
Transparent.
And I think
that.
And I feel like in music right now, we're putting our best face. We want to look like we're powerful. Actually, Paris said this the other day. He said, you know, why don't we start rapping about we're broke? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the level of transparency and honesty I want to see. I want to see that.
So, Marty, but is there a market for? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I'm sure there's a. Well,
there is. I believe there is.
I was going to say, but Marty, you can make that market. You're the producer.
That's what I want to do. So, like Griselda, to be honest with you, like if you would be like, hey, Marty, what do you listen to? I'd be like, Griselda.
Yeah.
That's what I like right now. Yeah. I mean, my wife hates it. She's like, can we not listen to a guy who was, for 45 minutes? You know, I'm like, what are you? I don't know. And I don't, I'm not even from that world. I'm from the suburbs. I don't know. But some, at least, I guess.
But
I guess
there's dudes where, like that in CHA.
Yeah,
they,
I just don't know, man. Like I need to get it. I need to get it. But
bro, are you in the right place then? We know. We know all them dudes.
Yeah, I need to, I need you guys to make me a playlist and I need to be put on. Because outside of Dayton and outside of like C4 and some of these guys, I really don't know much. And I think that like one of the reasons why I wanted to produce for Dayton was because I felt like I want to hear you on like some sample stuff. Like, let's get some sample stuff. Let's do this. And it's so hard to clear samples. So now,
yeah,
you know, I always felt like I just, I'm making the music that I want to hear. Like, I just produced a whole record for KJ52, a whole 7-track EP. And we have 2 more songs coming out. And like, oh, wow. That's a good definition of what I want to hear. Like, it's hard music. It's honest music. It's vulnerable music. It's music that talks about the cross and how we need redemption. It talks about therapy. It talks about just finding God, or God finding you where you're at. Like that's that's what I want to hear. And I guess, all I hear right now is just very clean music, like very, like, I guess, yeah, because also one of the things is I try to listen to artists that no one knows about. And what I'm seeing is just the same type of auto tune and stuff. And I want to hear their hard stuff. Yeah. I just want to hear it.
So let me ask you this. Well, you did the Who Do You Believe, right?
I did both of those. Yeah, both of those records we did. We literally did those like a week.
Those fire. And my only complaint about those is short. I was like,
no, they're mad short. Ready? Yeah, we did them in like 2 weekends. You know, it's like when you do that. But even for the cover art and the stuff that we did to get, like, that was my idea. I was like, why don't we make you like Nas? You know, But my favorite record was the Who Do You Believe, and that EP for me, it meant a lot. And so there's one song in particular that I genuinely think it's like one of the best songs, but it's a sample song. But, you know, it's hard to do those songs. It's hard to do anything that has a sample on it in Christian hip hop and clearing things. But Honor Code on Who Do You Believe, the first one, like that, I love sample. I love rapping. I love hip hop that, you know, like I have a buddy of mine who's working with a very well-known artist, our favorite. If we were to have top five, he'd be in top five. And the artist told him, he said, I'm not going to rap until I have something to say. And I feel like that should be the approach that we take in music. We shouldn't rap unless we have something to say. Like, what are we talking about? Like, we're talking about girls. Like, I don't know, man. The type of music I've been hearing lately, I just want to hear some, like, hard stuff, bro. I want to hear – it doesn't even have to be East Coast. It just has to be a mix of authenticity. And I just want to feel something. Like, I guess the only way I can explain this is because you guys were all around the same age. When DMX would premiere a song, I wanted to run through a wall. Like, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. That's the type of feeling I want to have. And, you know, Kanye West said that on an interview recently. He goes, I'm trying to make music that makes you feel something. Like excitement, feel like when you would hear Jay-Z's dropping, you're like, oh, we got to hear the albums. We got to hear it right now. You know, like, that's what I want to bring to the genre. And I feel like I did a terrible way of explaining that, but that's, if I would encompass everything, it would be, I want to bring back excitement. I want to bring back a new spin on the gospel does not need to be changed. It always will work, but the way we frame it and the way that we communicate it from different vessels, it'll work.
Oh, you hear that? The TNC presents Marty's, whatever presents. It's gonna be a collab album coming.
Yeah, right. You already know it. It's gonna happen. All on Griselda beats. I mean, like, name one Christian artist right now that sounds like MF Doom. You know, like that's the type of music I'm listening to. Like, name one artist that sounds like Conway or Benny or another artist. You know, like, there's not many like that. There's maybe we have like one for one. You know, and there's like. I think, you know, it's a different pot. You know, you're thinking in mainstream, there's like 15 of them. And then in Christian music, we have 2. And I'm like, I just want people to be authentic. I know there's a couple people in New York right now that are just popping. My buddy Chris Durso told me, he's like, there's a couple guys you need to look out for. They're just absolutely killing it.
But you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
I seen Chris recently, like, trying to find people. Yeah. Like, yo, I need to tap in.
He feels the same way I do.
Yeah, and I noticed that it garnered like a lot of attention, where a lot of the folks that the gritty CHH folks, and I'm not outside of Dayton's crew too, you know, people were tapping into that, and I he might have gotten overwhelmed by a lot of, because they're out there, right? You just, I mean, you really just
need better marketing. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
That, you know, too. We all work full time. Like most Christian artists that I know, they work a full time job and then they do music. So yeah. It's hard to make music, promote it. And nowadays you got to be everything. You got to be a promoter. You need to be the writer, the producer. It is really, really hard to do that. And so I wouldn't even say maybe we don't have it. I would say maybe we just, it's tough when you need marketing. And the best type of marketers are like the guys who do like the pop hip hop. Like I love pop hip hop. Like that guy, Connor, Nick D, those are my boys. They're great, but they do pop hip hop and they can make some hard stuff, but that's pop hip hop to me. Nick D is like incredible to me. I mean, I produced a couple of his earlier things. He's phenomenal. He's one of the best MCs, but like, you know, it's like, he's a great promoter. And so you need, nowadays you need to have a promotion. And I think the issue that we're having now is that we're still trying to figure it out when the world has already figured it out. They're already shooting content. They're willing to work 13 hours a day to make it work.
Yeah.
I think it was crazy hearing from you, right? Because you worked with a lot of artists though. Like you worked with a lot of big CHH artists. I mean, not just CHH, right? But we're talking gospel art, you know, just Christian artists, right? Torrin Wells, Jordan Feliz, all of them type of folks too. But for you to say, like, yo, we need something new, something refreshing.
Well, it's a new generation. I mean, I know Andy. It is. Like, we know Andy. You know, we know Andy makes great music. We know KB makes more music. I'm referring to more the younger generation that's coming up. Who's going to take the reins from all of us? There's only like four or five artists that are really killing it right now. And you have, who's going to take it from Cray? Hopefully it's Hovi. I don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen. I always think legacy, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, that's dope. But I agree with you in the sense that you got to be original, right? And I think that was always one of my issues with CHH was like, you know, I think you have to create that lane, right? You need to draw them in.
Yeah.
And you need to create that.
Just to piggyback on what you're saying, usually when there's somebody who says I want to see that, what goes off is that's God giving you the vision for you to do it, you know. If you're complaining about it, it's because God called you to change that. And so if you can't change it, then don't complain. Like, stop, shut your mouth. But I do feel like there's a guy right now. I just found out. I think he makes some of the hardest music I ever made, ever heard. His name is Austin White 777. That dude could rap. That dude is good. He needs a mentor. These guys. And that's one thing I want to do. I want to mentor this new generation. They need someone like me. They need a KB. They need an Andy. They need a Lecrae. But Lecrae already has seven guys that he mentors. You know, these new kids, you know, we got to figure it out. So, I feel like I know the problem because God's called me to solve the problem. So hopefully, like even this new song I'm dropping, Golf Course Meetings, like that, when I made that beat, I was like, I'm going to make a Dipset type beat, you know, and that's what I made. And so it came out the way it did. And I think that it's important for us to understand that if there is a problem that we hear, it's for us to solve it. And so I hope that I could help be a part of a new emergence of Christian music that is authentic, loves God, genuinely loves God, connected to a local church, loves God, and puts really good, honest music that feels scary to put out because of how honest it is, you know?
I think
Kyle hates Lecrae.
Yeah, Kyle don't like anybody.
Kyle, you're watching us, bro, and I don't know you, but who do you listen to? Do you listen to music at all? Please put it down there. I want to see what you're referencing. If there has to be somebody out there that does it for you if all the things I'm mentioning are bad.
He listens to Kirk Franklin.
All he listens to is The Commission. That's it.
Who's Commission? Is that a band?
It's a gospel group.
I'm going to listen to them. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I want to know. I mean, I think it's important to not have also like a one-sided conversation where it's like, Kyle's back in the chat. It's more of, hey, Kyle, like, let's talk about it. What is killing it right now? What do you recommend that we can, what that could reach the youth? What is it? Because we're trying to do our best to figure it out. And unfortunately, we grew up in the real world. And so we're going to listen to Dipset. We're going to listen to Jay-Z. We're going to listen to all the people that are part of the Illuminati that everyone says. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, that's what we grew up on. I mean, when you listen to an artist and you feel seen, that does a lot to a kid. And for me, when I first started listening to Dipset and listening to some of these artists, I felt like, hey, I finally music that I like. You know, I didn't, you know.
So Kyle, who do you like to listen to?
He says I don't hate Lecrae. I dislike his moves. Well, what moves don't you like? I guess that's the question.
Mason said he only listens to the Clark Sisters.
Who are the Clark Sisters?
Another gospel group.
I got saved later in life, so I'm like catching up. I didn't know how big Kirk Franklin was until I saw him on Sister Sister on Netflix. He was on, you know, you ever seen the episode of Kirk Franklin on Sister Sister? He's playing basketball. He's like 5'3". I love it. It's so good.
I just see the video of him in the gym, right? He was with somebody. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I saw him doing pull-ups.
He was brolic, man.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Right?
He's too strong. He's scary. He's scary. Scary big.
He looking like a little Samson or something.
Young Samson.
Yeah.
Look, Kyle didn't even mention who he listens to, so I don't know.
And so we're going to wrap the show up. So sorry, Kyle. Next, you're next week's guest.
Yeah.
That's right. So Marty, where can people find you? What you want to let the people know?
Yeah,
your next drops.
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram, everywhere under Lecrae, LECRAE. And that's where you'll find me, baby. I'm sorry. Just look up Death by Marty Marr. Terrible name, rough name. It's a long story how I got that name, but Death by Marty Marr. Got a new song coming out the 22nd. Just look up Marty. You'll hear it. And then it's got this guy named Gavin the Hot Rod, who to me embodies what I'm looking for, even though he just retired because he felt like the Lord told him to step away and pursue full-time ministry. So it is what it is.
Oh, wow. So you got the last verse?
The last one, man. I got lucky.
Wow. That's dope. Wow.
I grew up on that garbage, too, and I vomited up.
Okay.
Well, like a dog returns his vomit. I got to hear that song one more time, baby.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for being on, Marty. Yeah. We appreciate it. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. Before we leave, we got the verse of the day, and it is Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith unto his grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
If you haven't, hit the subscribe, hit the like button, share this episode with a friend. This was a phenomenal episode. Share this with an artist that you think could benefit from it. And go check out thatsnotchristian.com. See if you like something, cop it. We appreciate everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday for another show. And peace.
Love y'all. Peace.
Marty, stay on, Marty.
Yeah, you got it.
We gave away a free interview.